in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're able to stand, we'll look. It's beginning with verse number 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. And there's none holy as the Lord, for there's none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly, and let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girt with strength. And they that were full have hired themselves out for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. And so that barren hath borne seven, and that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth, and he maketh alive, and bringeth down to the grave, and bringeth up. The Lord maketh the poor, and he maketh the rich, and he bringeth low, and lifteth up. He raised up the poor out of the dust, and he lifted up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We want to thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. Right every wrong, save the soul that's nearest hell. Revive the saint, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free, we pray thee, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on look at where God has lifted us up from. You know, in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that he talks about the power and he talks about the grace of God that's in view here. God's able to kill and God's able to make alive. You know, he's the only one that's able to bring somebody up out of the grave. One of these days, you're going to find that all that are in the graves are going to hear his voice. I hope you're one of them. But they're going to all. Some are going to resurrect unto life. I hope that's you. Some are going to resurrect unto damnation. I hope that's not you. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that God has brought us from the poorhouse and set us in the palace, buddy, in the throne room of God. In this Bible lesson, you're going to find out he's lifted us up out of the miry clay. And let me say to you, he's now got us seated in heavenly places at the Master's house. It's good to be saved to know the Lord. Now, here's a woman by the name of Hannah. Hannah was a woman that wanted to have children, but she was barren and she could not. And if you read the chapters that precedes this, chapter number 1 and so forth and on, you'll find out that she was there. In fact, look there in about verse number 15 at the passage there. And the Bible says, let's back up to about verse 13. "Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. And therefore Eli thought she had been drunken." Now the man down at the house of God thinking all of a sudden, you know, here's a woman drunk. She's there talking and praying, her lips are moving, there's no voice that's coming out of her mouth. And the Bible said that he said unto her in verse 14, chapter 1, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." Now that's what he thought. He saw her praying, heard no voice, moving of her lips. But then as a result of it, he accused her of being drunken. And notice in verse 15, she answered. And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Tell not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Now I want you to pay close attention to that, because the Bible said that whenever he accused her of being drunken, being strong drink, drinking wine, when he accused her of that, she said, "No, I'm not a child of Belial. I'm not lost without God. I'm not in need of being born again. Is that I've got a broken heart and sorrowful spirit." Now, I want you to look, when you begin to see that, you begin to recognize that, is that when God reached down and snatched us as a brand from the burning, set our feet upon the solid rock, it was because of the burden of the soul and the desire of the soul. I want God more than any one thing that I could ever be able to have in this life. And let me tell you right now, old Hannah, she knew God was real. And as a result of that, she was praying for a son. And she made a bargain, said, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. I'll raise him for you, and I'll give him back to you for the rest of the line. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that those are two passages that you're going to need the rest of your life. Do you know what it is? A person that's a beer drinker, that's a liquor drinker, that's a wine drinker, is a child of Belial. That's what Hannah said in the Bible. In fact, is I want you to not lose your place there, and I don't want you to lose your text, but I want you to look, if you will, please, over there in the book of Proverbs. There's a chapter over there that we ought to look at. I'm always making, and I'm going to always make it until that Jesus comes again, and when he comes across my heart and my mind, there is no such thing as a beer-drinking Christian. There's no such thing as a wine-drinking Christian. There's no such thing as an alcoholic beverage for social reasons to a Christian. Now, here's what ends up in the Bible as a result of that. You know, over there, the Bible said it over the book of 1 Timothy. We're not going to take time to look at that. But you know over there that he said that, told Timothy to take a little wine for your stomach, Satan, often infirmity. Boy, people like to grab that up because that's used as a medicinal purposes, and they like to use that as an excuse to be able to drink liquor and whatever they want to do. Pay close attention. You're going to find out that as a result of that, you're going to find is that they like to grab that. Now, the preacher was not allowed to have any wine. You know why, don't you? I'll tell you why, because if you have to deal with many people like I have in 50 years, you'd stay ball drunk all the time. See that? So God knows exactly what the deal is, but look in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 20, verse number 1. He said, wine is a monker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now pay close attention to that, because you're going to back up to a book of Proverbs, chapter 15. I want you to buckle those two together, because chapter 15 of the book of Proverbs, verse 24, the way of life is above to the wise. You know what that is? A wise person saying. A wise person knows the Lord. A wise person's headed up and out of here. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from the hell beneath. Now, you're either headed toward heaven because you're wise, or you're headed toward hell because you're not. And that's what he's talking about when he said, wine's a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That means they're going down. They're not going up. Look in Proverbs over there in chapter number, chapter number 23. Proverbs in chapter number 23. Now, the Bible says that when you begin to look into that, we ought to buy the truth and sell it not. And verse number 13, he said, and they that tarry long at the wine, that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it's red and when it's in color and it's in the cup and it moveth itself aright. At last it biteth the serpent, stingeth like an adder. And thine eyes will behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Now, here's what the devil knows. Is that you girls that are sitting here, and as beautiful as you are, you already know you're going to have to guard yourself. You're going to have to put the brakes on. You're going to have to tell a young man to back off, so forth and on. Now, I can tell you right up front is that my wife's a good kisser. And I didn't like her putting the brakes on telling me, but I mean telling you right now, I got all the sugar I could get when I could get it, if I could get it. But let me just say to you that if you will, girls, you better be careful when somebody wants to feed you a little mixed wine, a little mixed drink. They know if you can get that liquor down, buddy, your clothes are going to be coming down. See that? Why do you think God said, don't even look at wine when it's red in the cup and bite at the light and causes your eye to look at strange women? I've had more than one person, and I can't remember all of them, but all of them have got the same lame brain, stupid excuse that they've got. Well, I don't think it's wrong to take a drink if you don't get drunk. Read the passage again. Don't even look upon it if it make you drunk. Much less taste it. But see, a person that's a beer drinker or whiskey drinker, and let me tell you something, I know something about drunks. We live in a drunken nation, and we got the drunks to prove it. I know something about it. I've never been drunk in my life. I've never drank liquor and all that business there. Have I ever tasted it? Sure, I tasted it before when I had a bad tooth thinking I could keep from going to the dentist. But that was one of my drunk kin folks that suggested that me drink that, and he said, you won't be able to tell it. I did tell it, and I had to go to a dentist to get an abscess tooth pulled out. I tell you something, when you look into this Bible lesson, is that no wonder that Hannah said unto Eli, no, don't consider me one of the children of Belial. I'm not lost without God. I'm not drinking liquor or wine or strong drink. I'm not doing that. I've got a heavy heart and a burdened heart that I'm praying to the Lord about, and I'd like to be able to pour my soul out to him that he might hear my prayer and give me a man child. And she did bear a child, and his name was Samuel. I'm talking about what a great, mighty man that God that used her to be able to bring into this land, in this world. In this Bible lesson, you're going to find out that it doesn't matter how many times you cover that ground we just did. It won't make any difference how many times that you can remember the chapter, the book, and the verse, because it's not going to make any difference to anybody that wants to make an excuse for how they live a godless, wicked life. Back over in your text, notice what he says in verse number 12 of our first Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And see, what she was saying is, I'm not a lost woman. Don't consider me one of the children of Belial. I'm a child of God. And I got to tell you right now, it's not anything to be able to go out on Friday night or sometime on Saturday night. I can't tell you how many Baptists, of course, most of them are Southern Baptists. Most of them are just, I don't know, I call them all bastard Baptists. But they sit around and like to drink those, what do they call them, margaritas and all that right there. I wouldn't even eat in a Mexican restaurant for a long time that was named Margarita. And then I realized that, oh, there's actually some Mexican women probably that are named that, and so forth and on. But let me just say to you that, if you will, I've seen a many a person, buddy, sitting around drinking liquor and drinking wine in these restaurants, you know, and people that you would be very much surprised. People that were even named among the clergy. But they're not wise. You know where I believe that a person that's a preacher goes that drinks liquor? Straight to hell when he dies. I don't even acknowledge women, you know, preachers. It's always fun, you know, at a Bible conference, you say, listen, all you preachers, please stand or raise your hand if you're here preaching tonight. And say, yeah, God bless you, ma'am. We don't recognize. And boy, they'll all turn around looking at her. No. I want to say all that to be able to say this, is that you'll find is that here's a woman that, buddy, that poured her soul out unto God, and you talk about God hearing and God answering her prayer. This Bible says in verse number 8 that we've read, he raised the poor up out of the dust. You know, you're sitting here before me this morning, I stand before you, and let me tell you, we were made out of the dust of the ground, according to Genesis chapter number 2. He said, from dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. That's the reason why that whenever you look around, there's dust everywhere. Somebody reminded me every now and again, I can promise you there's dust hiding up here somewhere, even a good job that you'll do, because it's an ever reminder that we're going to be heading back to dust. And you're going to find out that the little boy in Sunday school, when he learned that, he finally went and asked his mama, said, Mama, is it true that people, whenever they're born, made out of dust, and that when they die, they return back to dust? And she said, that's exactly right. Good for you for paying attention in Sunday school. He said, well, it's not that. I just looked under my bed, and there's somebody under there either coming or going. And that's true. That's true. Sooner or later, friend, you and I are going to return back to dust from which we came. It's a humbling thing, is it not? And let me say to you, from dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Make no mistake about it. We ought to thank God for the privilege of just being and just being alive. Now, and the second of all is, you're going to find that when not only God made us out of the dust, but he saved us from off the dunghill. You'll find out is that as a beggar, we had nothing to offer him whatsoever. Remember here in this lesson that we're looking at, he talks about the beggar over in the book of Luke 16. The rich man had a beggar lay at his gate, and all, as a result, God had him there to preach the word to the man, but the man had too much money and didn't care nothing about God, the Bible, or a beggar that had the message of the Lord. And as a result of that, you'll find that the beggar died, was carried to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and went straight to a devil's hell. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, you'll find that we live in a world that's called a place of disgust, no doubt. We're caught living in a world that's a place of disease, no doubt. We're living in a world that's going to get worse and worse. It's never going to get better. And let me say to you that, if you will, the only person that can take care of disease, and I'm not talking about you folks that have an allergy. I've had several people this morning, you know, that have a pretty good chronic cough, sound like distemper. That's a disease that dogs or animals get, you know. And I don't worry about that. I don't worry about that. I don't mean nothing by that when I tell you that. I just said all that to be able to say this. There's only one person that's able to cure disease, and his name's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, until then, I'm going to take all the medicine that I possibly can, and I'm going to do the best that I can to be able to, you know, we were talking this morning, me and a couple of these ladies here, and we were talking about Afrin nose drops. I like Afrin menthol. I don't need as much as I used to. And somebody said, well, yeah, you know, that stuff's addicting. I guess I ought to know better. I've been taking it for 72 years, and I'm not addicted to it. And as a result of that, you know, I remember one time Brother Nolan, he's going to come visit with us a while, I guess, here not too many moons, and anyhow, stay about a week, he said. He used to tell me, you know, if you won't use that, when your nose stops up, if you won't use that, it'll finally unstop. I went nearly a week suffering, thinking, Nolan either don't know what he's talking about or he's just lying, one of the two. Of course, I think he thought maybe it was going to be able to be a help to me. I finally went in and got me some. You know what the problem is? I can't use that. It burns. All right, well, keep your stopped up nose in. I squirted that dude, let me tell you, and got it up in there and get it and flush it all out, feel better and all right and go along. Let me tell you something you do not want to do. You don't want to reach over there in that little shaving kit by my bed, reaching around and grabbing for some kind of Visine and grab hold of that menthol and squirt your eye full of that menthol nose drops Afrin. Not a good trip, not a good thing. I got to say unto you that, if you will, that God's raised us up from the dunghill and the dung heaps of the world. He's raised us up that he might be able to make us whole like unto him. And one of these days we shall be. Over in Psalm 38, you haven't turned there, but he says, for my loins are filled with loathsome disease and there's no soundness. I got to tell you right now is that the best that man can do is altogether vanity. But Jesus can heal any manner and all manner of diseases. Listen, there's not anything that the Lord can't take care of in his own time as he will. We live in a world, a place of disease, a place of decay, a place of deterioration, if you will, please. And let me tell you, we can only get worse and worse without the Lord. But one of these days, God is going to make us whole. We've got some people that we prayed earnestly for, and we've prayed and begged God in their behalf, and God took it further than we intended, and he's made them whole when he carries them to the other side, just like he will for one day you and I. I want to say to you that, if you will, there's a place of deliverance that's mentioned. This Bible said he lifted up the beggar. Now, let me tell you, when it comes to God and heavenly thing, you can't borrow your way in. You can't buy your way in. I got to say, I'm glad and thank God that we've got the promise of a new president. I'll tell you something else that I like. I don't know enough about him, but I like him already. I'm more excited about the fact that he's got a good replacement if something happens to him with Mr. Vance. I like him and all that business there. I mean, I guarantee that other guy that was running with the camel is that he's a nut. I mean, just have you ever seen him just listen to anything he had to say? You can't much very long at a time. But you talk about a nut crippled too high for her. And I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about him. And how'd you like that? As long as he's alive, she's not the dumbest person in the world, but she's running a close second. I said all that to be able to say this. You're going to find out that with the Lord God of glory, buddy, concerning the beggar, is that he's able to give us deliverance. He's lifted us up, buddy. That's the grace of God. And let me tell you, he found us when we weren't looking for him. In this Bible lesson, we're God. You're going to find we live in extreme conditions of misery up on the face of this earth. And let me say to you, grace finally sought us out by the grace of God. And let me tell you, not only that, but he made us fit into the family of God, and he fitly framed us together into God's house. In this Bible lesson you look at, while we were dirty and helpless and hopeless, let me tell you, we passed from rottenness to royalty with the Lord Jesus Christ. If somebody asks you down the road and says, what family are you part of? You want to know about my earthly family or heavenly family? But if you want to know about my earthly family, I'm a member, and you can give the name of your parent. Whether you like it, lump it, love it, or leave it, that's one way. Or you can talk about your royal family, and when you pass from rottenness to royalty, and to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. This Bible said when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not only heirs of God, you're a joint heir with Jesus, a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out that we've been made pillars. Look in verse number 8 in that passage there. He raised up the poor out of the dust. He lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Now, I want you to watch it. Is that over in 1 Timothy chapter number 3 to about verse number 5, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Buddy, we are pillars in the church of God because of what he's done for us. I want to say to you as we get ready to close, we have passed from death unto life, and we have gotten now from filthy rags and filthy garments of religion to the robe of righteousness by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in this day and hour that we're living in, is that there's a lot of people that are contented with just being religious. There's a lot of people in the Baptist church that are just contented with religion. I got to tell you, God has brought us from death unto life. And as a result of that, we're not just wearing the filthy rags of religion. We've been clothed with a robe of righteousness from the hand and the heart of God. Now, you know what happens when you get saved? You're in a better condition than you've ever been. You've got better company that you can be able to fellowship with. And you've got a better country that you're headed toward called heaven. And in this day and hour that we're living in, you're going to find out we ought to lift up our soul. That's what the psalmist said, chapter 25, chapter 8. He said, I'm going to lift up my soul, not just my voice, not just my hearing, but I'm going to lift my innermost being up unto the Lord. I'm going to lift up my soul unto the Lord. Do you know the Bible said, the Lord said, call unto me and I will answer thee, show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Now, if you're here this morning, you've never had God knock on your heart. Maybe God's doing so now. Maybe God's tugging at your heartstring, and this is a morning that you've decided, while our musicians come and our song director, and you've decided, I'm going to lift up my soul unto the Lord. As we get ready to sing this song of invitation, and as we stand to our feet and pray, our Father, we ask your blessings now upon the reading of thy word. And we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. And as we sing a verse of invitation, there may be somebody somewhere that say, preacher, I want something real from the hand and from the heart of God. Lord, I pray you'd save the soul nearest, hail, revive the saint, lift up the downhearted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?